Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good morning. I hope your day is going wonderful. I hope it's filled with many blessings, and I hope that you enjoy this hour with me, because I know I enjoy it with you. If ever you want to call in or text in questions or comments, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. I know I don't give that out every day, because it doesn't always work. And it's not always easy for us to get it, but the text we can always get. And you're always welcome over to Allison. I'm going to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook page. I check there all the time during the show in between the segments. I go there and see if anyone has any questions, comments, concerns, as my friend, my dear friend JR always says. And I'm always happy to try to address them during the show. We are looking this week at the Gospel of Luke and the wonderful study out from Catholic Scripture Studies called Luke, the Gospel of Mercy. And it comes, it's a study guide, it's 300 page, 8.5 by 11, it's huge, it's wonderful, it's so well done. The images, the pictures they chose to include, I'm like one of those geeky book people who really takes note of like the pages. Like, I want to be able to write in them. I want to be able to write in them in marker, because I'm also a dork who likes to use the Papermate flares to write. So I don't want it to bleed through. Like, these are the things I think about. Like, when I am picking a book, how sad is that? I want plenty of place. Yeah, that's English, not really. I want plenty of space to write my own thoughts. I want to be able to underline and jot things in the margin. I have an attention deficit disorder, and it's an hyper. I know I have attention deficit hyper disorder. I know that's a really big surprise for you. So if I'm just going to read, I'm either going to get lost in my own thoughts, or if I'm just highlighting, I used to just take a yellow highlighter. It was like I was following the yellow brick road. Like, I would just start to get lost in the highlighting and not really reading the words. So now I always read with the pen in my hand, a colored pen, so that it doesn't, I can write around the black ink, the writing typography. That's not the word. Anyway, I can write around it and it doesn't get lost. No one can borrow my books. That's the only downside, is no one can borrow my books, because you have to read between all my scribble everywhere. It's kind of funny, but it really makes it hard to share books or give books away. But I'm somebody who feels like the books are become a part of your journey. And like, for me, they become a journal for me, and I want to hoard them all. Like, some of them I do actually get back and read. Some, sadly, I don't. But I do try to get back and read them all. But something like this, where it's a study guide, you're going to write in it. It's places to write. You're supposed to write in it. In fact, there's a video that goes with it, because this, again, is like the study guide. The video is the real meat of the project. And as you're reading, try that again. I stayed awake this morning. There's no reason you should be struggling for English today, especially within 10 minutes of starting the show. There are places in the book as you're watching the video. It kind of breaks it into categories so that you can take notes, which will then facilitate your conversation later on if you're doing it with a small group. Which, of course, is something I always advocate for. I think faith is best learned when we share it with others, when we come together and share where the Lord has touched our hearts, how it's affecting our everyday ordinary lives, where we see God in the everyday ordinary. I think this morning I was spending my morning in prayer. And I was thinking about how hard it is to trust an unseen God. Like, I have trouble trusting people I can see. And now you're asking me to believe in something I cannot see. But that's seeing with the physical of my eyes. But I can certainly see God with my heart. I can see him with the eyes of my heart. And I can also see him in what I call Godcidences. You know, people say coincidence, but I think that if we open up our eyes, the eyes of our heart, and we make an attempt to see God, he doesn't really hide himself from us. It felt like it most of my life, but he doesn't. He makes himself very, very known. Like, there's just certain things that happen that you can't make happen if you tried. You know, like when you're thinking something. And for me, like, I turned a long time ago my internal thoughts to prayer. So that they're conversations with heaven and God and my guardian angel. And I don't talk to myself anymore, which is really a step up for me because I used to spend a lot of time talking to myself. But now it's always in prayer form. It's conversation because prayer is basically just conversation. But it's always with somebody in heaven. I'm always like trying to get somebody's attention in heaven. And then like, so I'll have a thought and then either somebody will say it or I will read it. Or it'll be said in mass or hear it in a song. I'm like, well, that was weird. How did that happen? And you could just dismiss it and be like, oh, that was a neat coincidence. But I think that when we choose not to look at it as coincidence, but yet to acknowledge that, wow, I think God just did something miraculous in front of me, that he is, you know, bringing down that veil again between heaven and earth that I don't think is as thick as I once did, and it gets thinner, it feels, every day. And maybe it's because the older I get and the closer I get to going the other side of that veil, if it's getting thinner, or maybe I just want it to be thinner so that there's no fear, but there's always joy and hope to put my hope in God. There's lots of things here to put fear in, but not a whole lot to put hope in. And our hope is not wasted on God. And he really does make himself known. And we can do that again by, spending time with others, because you could easily convince yourself that what you see or what you hear or what you feel, you can easily convince yourself that it's not real, or you're just imagining it, or it didn't really happen. And that's really one of the ploys of the devil, to try to get you not to be a faithful person, not to follow Christ, is that he tries to convince you that what you feel or what you are experiencing is not real, that you're just, it's in your head. And that's what happens in Luke's gospel. We see the devil when the encounter with Christ in the desert, where he's tempting him, we see him try to confuse him or convince him that maybe he's not real. And we're going to look at that in the next segment when we come back. But really, the Gospels are such an incredible gift to get to know God and Jesus, and to understand the role model that Jesus is and the life that we are called to. And to do it on our own is great. Like, in fact, this book is broken into two different places where you do self-study to prepare for the video, to prepare for group study, and then there's reflection, and then there's the actual group study questions. And I just love the way this whole study is set up. It's includes, the what do you call this? Yes, preparation for study. We have study notes, like plethora. I love that word. You don't get to use that very often. A plethora of study notes. Like, I can't even, I think I made a note here this morning that it amazes me how much they put into that, and they being Father Jeffrey Kirby and Dr. Paul Thigpen, who Paul will be here tomorrow, God willing, 10 a.m. Eastern time, to talk about this study and the wonderful lessons that are in it. But it just amazes me, I couldn't possibly share online all this book has to teach. It is that prolific in the little nuggets it pulls out from the scriptures. As I said yesterday when I talked about Luke, the Gospel of Mercy, I'm not much of an academic person when it comes to learning the scriptures or studying the scriptures. I usually just like the touchy-feely part. But I find that becomes more fruitful when I do spend time and learn about the touchy-feely, like about the academic part, the history, because, everything in context. in the scriptures is important. Who was the audience? Who was writing it? What was the purpose of it then? How does it affect me now? Just those little things that you, little aha moments, like when I had on Sarah Chrismeyer, when we're talking about walk in her sandals, and she does that entering the scriptures for, section of that fabulous book, Walk in Her Sandals, Ave Maria Press. And it's that under, like those aha moments, those things that if you don't study scripture, you wouldn't know about. But yet when they're made known to you, it just blows your mind, blows open God's word in a way that allows us to enter it and be moved and draw even closer to him. You know, something as simple as this. In Luke's description of the angel's appearance to Zechariah, note the detail he provides that the angel is standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Such small details are typical of eyewitness reports. This particular detail is also suggestive that given the layout of the temple, the angel is apparently standing between the altar and the table holding the bread of God's presence. The angel's appearance is setting into motion the events that lead up to the coming of the bread of life, quote unquote, the bread of life. Of course, that's in John 6, and we know that to be Jesus, the one who is God present with us. Some see this bread as a foreshadowing of the Eucharist. Like, wow, what? Huh? Mind blown. That's awesome. But that's not stuff we would know unless we took the time to study it. So I think there needs to be a balance of this kind of, I call it touchy-feely, but that how does this relate to me as in opposed to what was taught? Like, why was it written? Who wrote it? And Luke, the Gospel of Mercy, the book, the study guide, and the video does both of that. You have the background and then notes for the teaching video that I'm going to go over a little bit, going deeper for small group discussion, life application. That's my favorite part. The reflection by Father Kirby, and then living it out. Three very simple ways that you can live out what you've just learned, and even words to know. Great stuff. And opening and closing prayers. We have much more here on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. If you haven't already done so and entered this week's giveaway, let me tell you what this week's prizes are. First, we have the Rosary Book and History and Devotion from Father Richard Gribble, who is my confessor and my good friend. I got to see him on Tuesday of this week, which was always a blessing, because receiving the sacrament of reconciliation is always a blessing. To have all that guilt and shame wiped away, all that grace that helps us to go forward and to live the life that God wants for us. Grace is that undeserved yet freely given gift of God's Holy Spirit within us, and that is abundantly available. We just need to ask for it, and the best places to get it are prayer, sacrament, and scripture. So I got to visit my good friend Father Gribble this week, and it was just kind of godsidentally that we had his book being offered. Holy Cross Family Ministries is sponsoring half of this week's giveaway. They're giving away Father Gribble's book as well as Father Payton's Rosary CD. And I absolutely adore this CD. It's in my car. I give it away all the time because Father Payton, who is known as the Rosary Priest and definitely my patron, I visit his grave as often as I can. I got to do that on Tuesday as well. He's from Ireland and he had this great Irish brogue, don't you know? That was not a very good Irish brogue, and you do know. and the CD is just so sweet. You know, he says the prayers and the reflections, and you say them along with him, and it's just so wonderful. So we have the Rosary CD, both, again, from Holy Cross Family Ministries, as well as Ignatius Press has given us a little package for children. We have the Toddler Missal, My Little Catechism, and the Christmas Star board books, and just the catechism. The Little Catechism is a children's book, but with pages, not a board book. Really quality, wonderful stuff that I hope to give away to you. So make sure you go to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook. You can enter there by clicking on giveaway, or go to my website, reconciledtoyou.com, and click on radio show. Scroll down just a tiny bit, and there you'll see the entry form for the giveaway. It's called a raffle copter. It just gives you a few simple things, places, a couple of Facebook pages to visit, and maybe a question or two to answer, and you get lots and lots of entries. If you want more entries, go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show. Actually, click on our Seeking Heart, and there I explain what the benefits are of being a friend of this show. And I appreciate you very much, those who have done it. And, you have my prayers always, and I'm always appreciative of the support you give the show in prayer. And if you can, as a premium member, it's only $10 or more a month for supporting A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras. Also on my website this week, oh gosh, so many fun things. We launched a new Catholic Women Bloggers Network blog hop, which is the landing page is right there. It says CWBN blog hop. And our topic, that's the word, theme topic, I couldn't decide which word to go with, is Advent, preparing for Advent, keeping Advent, and not rushing Christmas. And there's, I'm not even sure how many bloggers joined me this month, 20 maybe? So lots of great blog stuff and information there to read. And on my actual blog, it was talking about Blessed Is She, and that believing what God has promised he will reveal. And I think that goes back to what we were saying in the first segment on how to believe in this unseen God is really to see that he's going to keep his promises. And when we see them fulfilled, it really builds that trust and that faith in him. It reminds me of when my daughter Faithy was brought home. We first got my daughter Faithy in China, and she rejected me 100%. She wanted nothing to do with me. And the only way to break through and build that bond with her was to continually meet her needs, to see them, to meet them quickly and effectively, and just keep that cycle going again and again and again until she saw she wouldn't be hungry, she wouldn't be cold, she wouldn't be naked, she wouldn't be dirty, she wouldn't be unloved. And God wants to do that same for us. He wants us to know that we are, like Mary, blessed. Are we that believe that what has been told to us will be fulfilled? That's in Luke's gospel. It's Elizabeth says to Mary, but as with all scripture, it's being said and relates to the event being foretold or witnessed, expressed to us. But also, we can spend time with those words and let God speak to our hearts. Let God speak to us. Blessed is she, is what it says actually. It's blessed is she, but blessed are we who believe what has been foretold to us will be fulfilled. And that's many different things. It's our the destiny of heaven. It's maybe something in our own life. I shared before that I ended up going to this prophetic reading, and it said I was being anointed a great teacher and God's sphere would be my sphere. And as I battle like these odd, weird health things, I can't help but wonder and worry, like, is that going to be fulfilled? Is am I really okay? Is God really, is that truly, is he really anointing me to be a great teacher for him? And then I think I told you the other day that I was walking out of the house and kind of worried, because that's what I do. I worry. I'm very good at it. I'm an Olympic warrior. I'm a pro warrior. And I was walking out, and two of the things that the Lord sends me are flowers from I pray to Saint Therese all the time about my health. And usually she responds with some rose. And lately this truck been going by, you know, God talked to me in Mack trucks, has been saying keep promises. And the both of them went by simultaneously, one going left and one going right, like eastbound and one going westbound, kind of crossed their paths. And it was like this just moment of, Allison, you're okay. And I've got you. And again, that's a moment I couldn't create if I wanted to. I couldn't have put those trucks in those exact moments just as I'm walking out the door and thinking, Lord, am I okay? Like I couldn't make all that happen. I could read into it if I wanted, but it's an awful lot of dominoes to fall for me to read into. And they brought me such encouragement, such peace, that I can't deny that there's a God when I have those moments. And I'm sure you have those moments too. And if you want to share them with me at any point, you know, always feel free to give me a message over at Seeking Heart with Allison Jingers on Facebook, or call in 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. And if you're listening on the app, I think there's a way to call from the app. I should know that. I should really have that information in my head. But again, I'm Allison, so I kind of only half know things. But I completely know that I am loved and that God loves me. So I have that going for me. As we look at Dr. Thigpen's book, again, this is out from Catholic Scripture Studies, CSSprograms.com for more information, or to order your own copy for you or your church. I really love that it's for small group. I'm a big fan of small groups. I can't express enough, like making that one day of a week to come together. And I said, yes, a week, not a month. I think that one day a week out of seven, we need to come together and talk about God and be with others who are like-minded, who are struggling or growing in their faith alongside of us. It is healthy. It is necessary. We are not meant to do this alone. And it's important, as I go through this study, Luke, the Gospel of Mercy, it just reminded again and again, I need to know both how it affects and reflects on me, but also the background, the history, what the writer of the original gospel or scriptures meant. And those little nuggets, those little connections with the Old Testament and the New Testament and the history and just all that stuff just makes it more and more rich and more real. And we are, again, looking at the Luke, the Gospel of Mercy. And I'm going to move on now to session three, where it goes to birth and childhood. It's hard to believe that Advent is just really a week or so away, that Thanksgiving is a week from today. That's insane too. I don't know if it's because it's so warm here in the Northeast that I'm having a hard time, and it's a little early for this year for Thanksgiving. So it's like, I think it's the earliest it can be, the 24th. So it just feels weird that here we are at Thanksgiving, and then we'll be looking at Advent and moving into Christmas. So just reflecting this morning as I read the session three, that the only the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, Dr. Thigpen writes, provide an infancy narrative, a record of events surrounding Jesus' birth. Matthew's infancy narrative is told from the perspective of Joseph, to whom Mary is engaged, and Luke tells the story from Mary's perspective. Luke tells how Mary and Joseph fulfill several Jewish laws, religious laws, and customs that have to do with childbirth. Jesus is named and circumcised on the eighth day of his life. 40 days after Jesus' birth, Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple for the prescribed religious rites of ritual purification for mother and presentation of the child. In the temple, more about Jesus' unique identity and destiny is revealed through the encounter with two strangers, Simeon and Anna. And I love the story of Anna. We had Colleen Mitchell on here. She talked about that in her book, and I'll have the link to my interview with her, because I just loved her take on Anna's story. We had such, you know, that woman who's widowed and continues to just serve the Lord, and being promised that she would see the Messiah before she left the world. Again, blessed is she who believes what will be fulfilled, and that she'd show up every day at that temple and she'd tell anyone who would listen who God was and his promises. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Jingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're talking this week about the new video series and study guide out from Catholic Scripture Study. I don't know why I haven't added that to my notes yet, and I have to keep turning the back of the book. I'm such a dork. Oh, a trained professional I am. Yes, I am. Luke, the Gospel of Mercy. And I was just reading over the break this really remarkable line here. Let me share this information with you. Just so cool. Luke notes the role of angels and shepherds in the story of Jesus's nativity. Not simply Gabriel, but a host of angels. And Gabriel was the angel that came to Mary at the Annunciation to announce that she would be the mother of God. But he says a host of angels celebrate the birth of the Son of God, and vigilant shepherds in their night watch are invited to go and adore the newborn Messiah and Lord. The angelic praise recorded in this gospel is the basis of the Gloria hymn that is sung in Sunday's masses outside of the penitential season. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of good will. And did you know that when we sing Holy, 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 Lord God of Hosts during the Mass, we are actually joining in with a choir of angels that the Lord has created, God has created, just to sing his praises, and that is their song of praise. And we are literally joining in with the choirs of angels. When I was in choir many years ago, the poor woman who stood next to me, because I couldn't help myself, when I learned this, every single Sunday, right before we would go to sing it, I would get so giddy and I'd look at her and I'm like, we're going to sing with angels. And like week after week, and no wonder she quit. First she moved her seat down. Then she quit. I wonder why. But it's just such an over, like, how can you ever get used to knowing that? How can you ever get used to knowing that you are singing backup with a choir of angels? That's just incredible. Really, that's incredible that we get to do that. And here we are repeating all the time at most Sunday masses. Again, these the choir of angels says, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to people of good will. That's just incredible. I'm just such a fan of angels. I mean, my guardian angel, and just to know that we are surrounded by this cloud of witnesses, these angels who can guide us and to lead us. And the shepherd thing, a few years ago when I started to feel this call into ministry, I remember praying one day saying, Lord, I can't be a shepherd. I don't have the skill. I don't have the, I just don't have the, obviously the words. Like, I can't be a shepherd. And it was so sweet. This little voice says to me in my heart, I don't need you to be a shepherd. I just need you to be a sheepdog. Oh, dog, I can be. Dog, that's easy. I can be a dog. And I just had that little image of how the sheepdog kind of yaps. My husband would say I got the yapping down around the sheep, this dog would circle and just bring them, corral them in. And where is he heading them? Where is he pushing them towards? Towards the shepherd. So Jesus is the shepherd. Our priests are the shepherds. And those are the people that we need to be listening to and following and attentive to, especially, of course, Jesus. And I don't have to be the one that people are following. I just need to be barking and leading and just kind of corralling you towards the real shepherd, the real one who has what you need and all that you need, quite honestly. My other favorite kind of information about the Gospels is that Joseph has no recorded words in the canonical Gospels. The words, I said, that's the perfect husband. perfect husband. He doesn't say a word. And a couple of years ago, I wrote an app called Words with Jesus. It's still available on Android. I think it's presently not on iOS anymore, which makes me sad. But it's Words with Jesus, and it's an app, a prayer app. And my plan was to do a whole series. I actually wrote Words with Mary, and unfortunately, the app developer I chose, the relationship just kind of fell apart. I think they've actually gone out of business, and lessons learned, painful, expensive lessons learned. But at the time, my husband joked that I should do one called Words with Joseph. It would be the quickest app ever written and the cheapest because, well, he didn't write anything, so there was no words to record any. I mean, he spoke, I'm sure, but there's no words recorded that he said. He's such a dork. Dork's the word of the day, apparently. Apparently I'm in a dork mood. So this, again, Luke, the Gospel of Mercy. We're looking at the study guide. Obviously, I'm not going to share the video series with you, but Paul Thigpen, Dr. Thal, Paul Thigpen will be joining us tomorrow morning, and he can tell us more all about the video series, what to expect on it, the format of it, and all that it has to offer and how it relates to the book. The first video, hosted by Dr. Thigpen, focuses on certain themes and passages from the Gospel of Luke. There are key highlights. Here, I'm, of course, reading from the book, of his presentation, with room to take notes as you view the video to assist you in the group discussion. Oh my goodness, can I tell you how much I love that? And there's ample room because I am a writer and I write big and I write a lot. And there's like five, there's not like, I can't stand it when my kids say, well, like, there is actually five lines or 4 to 5 lines per topic. And in this segment, you look, he's going to cover the topics of Matthew and Luke's infancy narratives, the events in Bethlehem, God's solidarity with the poor and the lowly, Mary as a woman of contemplation. We see that often she uses the expression ponder. She's going to ponder these things in her hearts. When Jesus was lost and she found him again, she pondered all of the situation in her heart. It happens when the shepherds come to worship Jesus, come adore Jesus. She ponders these things in her heart. And the other thing about the shepherds adoring him, that, and the wise men who also will eventually come, wise men still seek him. I love that expression. Is this whole, like, this was the first adoration. And adoration is when we come to Jesus at a chapel or a church in under the presence of the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity, under the presence of bread, veiled in bread, because that's how we as humans could accept his majesty and still live, because you can't look upon God and keep living. I don't know how to explain it. I just know that that's the truth. I know that from the Old Testament, when Moses wants to see him and he's told he can't see him and still live, and he gets shoved into the cleft of a rock as the glory of the Lord passes by him. Beautiful song by Third Day. If you've never heard that song, I should make a note here to link to that Third Day song. Show Me Your Glory. Oh, such a great, great song. One of my faves. But, I squirreled. Now I need to come back to where I was swirling from. Absolutely no idea where I was going. Show Me Your Glory. Can't see God. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that doesn't happen too often that I completely forget where I'm going. And I apologize so much for that. So we're talking about, adoration. Thank you. That's my guardian angel kind of whispering in my ear. You were talking about the adoration. So this is the first example we have of coming. Like, this is the physical Lord, and the Eucharist is the physical Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And here we have these shepherds and these wise men coming to physically adore the Lord, to come into his presence, to get on their knees and to put themselves before him, to just look upon him and let his love, his radiant joy, just become part of who they are. You can never have an encounter with Jesus Christ and be the same again. And I forget which saint it was. I think it might have been Saint Bernard, who I used to call Saint Bernard until a nun cleared me up on that mistake. But I just thought Saint Bernard was cuter. But It's the whole imagery of, I have that dog imagery. For somebody who doesn't have a dog, I love dogs. So St. Bernard said that, I believe it was him, that when you come into, if you go outside and through the sun, S-O-N, S-U-N, excuse me, if you go outside into the S-U-N and you spend some time there, there's a physical change to you. If I come in the house, my face might be red or tan, or there's a glow about me. You know I've been spending time in the sun. He suggested, and so true because I've been there and I've seen it, that that same effect happens when we bring ourselves before the Eucharist and spend time with the S-O-N, the Son of God. There is something about us that changes. We glow. We become physically changed. There's something about us that changes. It's because in that moment, that's part of the extension of the sacrament of the Eucharist, and there is grace abounding. And again, you can never, ever have an exchange or an encounter with Christ and be the same again. Even a minuscule change that you may not even feel happens every time you encounter Christ in prayer and sacrament and scripture. When you read his word, when you pray to him, when you participate in reconciliation or adoration or receiving the Eucharist or even calling upon your baptismal promises and trying to live a life of baptism, which he goes into, Dr. Thigpen actually goes into pretty deeply in this study guide, because in the Luke's gospel, we meet John the Baptist. We have Jesus's baptism. We see the beauty of the baptism and that cleansing and repenting and opening ourselves to become sons and daughters of God. As a parent of an adopted child, I can tell you that I don't look at Faithy and think, oh, that's my adopted kid. I look at her and say, that's my daughter. That's my beloved daughter. And the longer we live together, the more we look alike, because only God could make a Chinese girl and a Portuguese woman look the same. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Alison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Don't go anywhere. We have more to come.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Alison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm sharing with you this week Luke, the Gospel of Mercy, study guide and video series from Father Jeffrey Kirby and Paul Thigpen, and offered out by Catholic Scripture Study, CSSprograms.com, for more information. Also in this book, it's a jam-packed. Did I mention that yet? Just totally jam-packed. Each chapter has an opening prayer. And, well, it has first, let me back up for a second. First has an intro to the chapter, and then a prayer to prepare for studying, then prolific and wonderful study notes. And after the study notes, each bullet pointed, which for an ADD girl just makes me happy. Like, don't give me prose. You're going to lose me. But give me bullet points and I can somehow get through it. It's just how my brain processes information. So that works beautifully for me. Then there is just images, gorgeous, gorgeous artwork throughout the entire study guide, the book. Quality pages, which makes me happy. It does not bleed when I use my markers. To prepare for small group discussion, turn ahead now to the digging deeper and life application sections, which I will get to. Then there is quotes from the church doctors, from St. John Paul II, and his goodness gracious, his prolific writing, and saints. There's quotes in here from saint moments. There's opening prayers for your group, large group gathering, and then the video, and then the, I said it has highlights, what do you call these things? Just breaks it down into categories where you can make notes. So we were looking at Mary as a woman of contemplation is where I left off. And then Jesus is naming, circumcision and presentation in the temple, Simeon and Anna finding Jesus in the temple. Then the catechism connections, love the catechism, second most underused book in the world, first one being the Bible. And then small group discussion, digging deeper, and it talks, these questions are more to help you get deeper into what you've learned, the historical academic-y part. But they're really well written, great for conversation. There's maps and five questions easily could cover, because some people worry about doing small group. They worry about facilitating. They won't know what to say or how to lead it. But really, people do it on their own. And our role as a facilitator is just to keep the time. I'm a big timekeeper. And I'm also somebody who's very much feels there has to be a balance of conversation, which is probably the hardest thing to do. Because if somebody's sharing their heart, you don't want to shut them down. You definitely don't want them to feel like, oh, I can't talk anymore because she just shut me down. And it takes like a very delicate balance. But I can tell you through time and practice and prayer, lots of Holy Spirit preparation, he'll guide you through it. And if you're just honest and say, you know, I really love what you're saying, but let's look at this side of the room, make sure everybody is getting, or this side of the table, make sure everybody gets an opportunity to speak. I think at the heart, it's what we want to do. We want to be good teammates, and we want to give everybody an opportunity to share their heart. And again, meeting every week, it's easier for you to maybe take a week off not sharing if you notice somebody else really needs a lot of time and attention or has a lot of questions. But if you meet only sporadically, it becomes harder. I really feel words, why are you not working for me today? For accountability's sake and for your own personal journey, I highly, 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 highly recommend getting into a weekly Bible study, either creating one in your home, getting a group of friends to get together and share the hosting in your home, or to do it at the church. I like home versus church. I feel like it's more homey. It's a more comfortable atmosphere. It's easier for you to invite somebody who isn't church going to come to a book study, or you could call it the Bible study if you want. For many years when I started my own Bible study, or started into Bible study, it wasn't my own, I called it book club. I'm going to book club tonight, because we usually used a book to come together in conversation. I've moved mine since to the church, because I felt like that's where I needed to be at that time, because there's also benefits for that. There are some people who don't feel comfortable coming to your home. I have this whole company versus family clean, and sometimes it's easier than others to have the company clean versus the family clean. And the women who come to my house are always like, I don't care, family clean's fine. But there's still a part of you that's kind of humiliated when you told your 20-year-old son to go clean the bathroom and you just assumed erroneously that it got done. And then you go in and you're like, I'm horrified. That's gross. I live with three men. Do I need to say more? And also there's like parking can sometimes be an issue, there's always obstacles that can be overcome. If you have any questions on how to facilitate a group, always available, Allison@breadboxmedia.com. Actually contemplating doing some Facebook Lives on how we can facilitate small groups, which kind of inspire others to step out in faith and let the Lord use you as an instrument to bring others to him. And what I really love about Luke, the Gospel of Mercy from Catholic Scripture Study. I don't know why I know it now, but yeah, Catholic Scripture Study, is that there's nothing you have to think about. Maybe coffee and water. That's it. And putting it in the bulletin announcement. But honestly, that's it. There's an opening prayer. There's a closing prayer. There's the video. There's the video from Dr. Thigpen that teaches. And then there's the video from the Father Kirby's Reflection to prepare for answering the questions in the Living Out series. There's also, along with the video, you can read the voices of the saints as well as his reflection, just kind of a summary of his reflection. And then it comes to the Living Out section. And on our own, it says, spend 3 to 5 minutes praying, discerning, and writing down the specific ways, because every time the Lord calls you through his word, he's going to call you to action. We're meant to live the word of God, not just read the word of God. That God might be calling you to make some change in your life. Share and discuss afterwards, only if you feel comfortable doing so. Consider this week how God is calling you. And here's the options from this session 3. Look to Jesus as your model for responding to a particular individual or situation in your life. Then provide comfort and support to somebody who is suffering in the difficulty, who needs to be affirmed as a child of God. Then, like I said, it ends with words to know. I love Catholicism, but sometimes it frustrates me because we use such big words. And I think every ology has a vocabulary to it. If you study anything in science or math, it has its own language. And it's just a matter of learning it. And I love, 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 love that they have included at the end of each chapter, because these are wonderful things, like the Liturgy of the Hours and the Seven Sorrows of Mary. These are all just gifts that we have in our faith, but we don't know what they are. And most of us have not been exposed to them. It's great to have this explanation at the end of each chapter. And then a closing prayer, because sometimes, and this one is from the traditional novena to the Infant of Prague, one of my favorite and most powerful novenas. I will share a link to that as well. One of the most powerful, powerful novenas, especially if you're going through financial difficulties, is the Infant of Prague novena. We have a father. No, I keep saying that because his name is first on my list. We have Dr. Thigpen here tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern time. If you haven't yet heard from him, go to breadboxmedia.podbean.com. Search the word Thigpen. He's been on here twice before. First to talk about the Manual of Spiritual Combat or Warfare. And the other one was Saints Who Battled Satan. Such incredibly powerful books. Absolutely adore him and adore time with him. So excited he's going to be here tomorrow. Going on, we see the baptism of the Lord, and I talked about the temptation of Jesus in the desert. We only have a few minutes left, and one of the things that the devil said to kind of confuse him that he did to Jesus, but he also does to you and I, is he uses this language, the devil, when he kind of pushes our buttons to make us lose confidence. And he said to Jesus, If you are the Son of God, perhaps, Dr. Thigpen writes, Satan doesn't fully know God's divine identity, and the conditional statement is sincere. On the other hand, he is the prince of lies. He may well know who Jesus is, but is trying to insinuate subtly into Jesus's mind a doubt about his identity, just as the devil did with Eve. Of course, Satan is quickly presented as evidence that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, as he resists the temptations and shows his love and faithfulness to the Father. And what does Jesus use? He uses sacred scripture against the devil. Sacred scripture, the Bible. Read it, learn it, memorize at least one piece of it, one line that speaks to your heart. This is the armor of God. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. You need to know scripture, and you need to have at least one of those scriptures just etched into your heart, that when the devil starts to push your doubt buttons, you know exactly the truth that is given to us by God, that is of God. One of mine's worry about nothing. Worry about nothing. Well, I'm worried about nothing because now we're at the end of the show. So, but I hope to see you here tomorrow morning with my guest, Paul Thigpen. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.